Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And I so appreciate you joining me this week, Christmas week, as we've made our way through just a couple verses, per usual, of John chapter 1 being revealed to us, the Word of God. Who is Jesus? How has He come to us? Building anticipation, clearing the way for Jesus to be born in us. And we've had just a fantastic week together. And I would encourage you, maybe if you're taking some vacation time, maybe you're back at work and you're driving into work, or maybe you're home and you're sitting with your coffee, whatever, go back and listen to some of the episodes that we've had this week, because they're really inspiring. I know I'll be digging back into these scriptures and asking the Holy Spirit to speak. And I think an amazing thing that we've seen this week is so much of the Holy Spirit speaks to us when we chew on the Word. And then when we chew on the Word together, the Holy Spirit speaks to us in new ways. So I have my friend Katie, who's been chewing on the Word with me. And I was thinking there's so many things that have come to mind just as you've been speaking, as you've been saying things, that wouldn't come to mind if I was just chewing on this by myself, you know?
I'm in the same boat. I feel like I'm learning. I'm learning lots. It's so good. It's so good.
And so, friends, like, I encourage you in this Christmas season, because we're still in the Christmas season. What is today, Katie?
Today is Boxing Day.
What is Boxing Day, really?
I think historically, actually, I just learned this recently, which is really sad. So it's a day off for Canada. I think New Zealand and
that's
Australia.
That's all we need to know,
well.
Day off. No.
But it's historically, actually, what it was is that people would create like boxes of gifts and food for their servants these days, or the poor.
Sure.
So it's actually a day of like a continuation of what Christmas is.
Beautiful.
But a lot of people just think it's like the day you get rid of your boxes.
Hilarious. How many boxes do you owe from Christmas?
Yeah, from Christmas.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
My best friend, her mom is from England. So yes. They always do Boxing Day. And so I've never been able to go until last year. And it's like really nice tea and snacks,
yeah.
You know, like yeah. Tea and appetizers and stuff. And now I know the meaning, because I always thought it was about like physical boxing, you know. But we're still, I mean, all that to say is we're still in the Christmas season.
Yes.
There's a way of now, the season of celebration has begun.
Mm-hmm.
And we're reflecting on what Jesus has done for us. This is the beginning of the grand narrative, truly, of like the, you know, like when you, I don't know if in English class, like in eighth grade, we always had to do like one of those reports where it's like, you read like a novel and you have to say like the intro and then like what's like the climax of the story.
Yes.
And who are the characters.
Yes.
You know, like you have to like plot it out.
Yeah.
And in the gospel, there's so many different climaxes. And so like we're at a climax. We'll reach another one at Easter. But this is such an amazing celebratory point. So don't just move on from this reality, friends. Don't just move on from this reality that the word has come to us. Yeah, the word has come to us. So, Katie, any thoughts just from yesterday as we're moving forward today into kind of this post-Christmas day, you know?
Yeah, I think just like, again, like this expansion of like, and I think kind of what we're going to touch on today, just the reality of Christ's light in the darkness and like his coming in the night, as you mentioned yesterday, was so profound for me. And I think just even in my own life, when I have seasons that are seasons of nightfall, where it feels very dark or it feels like I can't see clearly. And for me, the reminder of the fact that like the light shines brighter in these spaces, I think just is really something for me to pray with, because it just helps to move through those times where there is real suffering and there is real struggle, to know that like there is a light here.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's such a good lead. And do you want to actually I'm going to just do a quick prayer and then let's just get into the passage, because that's a perfect lead into I think like what the Lord is saying to us today through this word. So let's just pray quick, friends, and then Katie's going to read our passage. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, we thank you for this season. We thank you that you have come into the world under the cover of darkness with human flesh to show us what it truly means to be human, to show us what it means to just give ourselves fully as gift back to the Father. When we pray today, as we read this passage, that you would enlighten us, that you would bring that light into our hearts, shine your light into the dark places of our hearts. And Lord, shine your light into the dark places of our world, because we know that this inner spiritual darkness, it bears fruit, bad fruit outside for this negative spiritual darkness in the world. And there's so much darkness in the world. And so we ask that you would shine your light bright in us so that the darkness in the world may be defeated. And we ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. All right, friends, John chapter 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world.
So beautiful. And where we kind of left off, friends, yesterday was Jesus Christ is life, right? He's not a life enhancement. He doesn't come to just make our lives better. I mean, he does make our lives better in some ways, you know, but he's not a life enhancer. He's not an extra add-on. He is life itself. He is the God life coming to give us this gift. And something I love that John says so poetically, this life, God's very life in you, the same life that he talks about in John 10 when he says that I've come to give you life and life abundantly, this overflowing life. He says this life is the light of men.
Yes.
And just like the reality that the life of God is what enlightens every human heart. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, he's not saying it's a light of men. He's saying it's the light of men, that there's only one light.
Yes.
That truly enlightens the world. And it's the life of God.
Yeah.
In each and every human heart.
Yeah. It's interesting. Just you even using the word abundance, like for me, sometimes I think when we think of abundance, we think of like just a lot of something. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, in our culture today, it's so easy for us to look at abundance in terms of not blessing, but just stuff, you know, and our stuff can be a blessing, but just to look at it in a very secular way. And so when I think of like the light in relation to abundance, that like the Lord shows us what true abundance really is through his light.
Yeah.
That, you know, we've kind of talked about surrender this week. We've talked about letting go and to say like, okay, the light of the Lord illuminates what it is that is worth hanging on to and what is worth moving through. And then he reveals what is good through his light.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking, I mean, there's just like even just the physical picture of this, you know, I was been doing this thing for Advent where I've been, before I pick up my phone in the morning, before I do anything, I've been doing a walk outside. And it kind of varies on time, you know, depending on how much I can get my act together. But it's like, I just throw a sweatshirt on. I throw sweatpants on, you know, usually over my pajamas. And then my coat, I bundle up. Like, I don't even brush my hair. I put a hat on, my hood up. And I've done it a number of different ways, kind of depending on what I have going on in the morning. But the best times, it's always in the morning. But sometimes if it's like past 7, if I end up doing it past 7:30, it's already light and everyone's already moving.
Yeah.
But the best times that I did it and have done it are when I'm getting up before the sun rises and I'm going out and I'm walking in the darkness.
Yeah.
And then like the street lights are popping up, or like there's not a lot of lights on cars, or the dusk is just coming up.
Yeah.
And it's like amazing how little light is needed to transform the space and lighten the space, and then also like reproduce itself in abundance.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like just that one street light lights up the whole light. Really, if you're walking at 6:30 in winter in Michigan, it's pitch black, truly, you know? Yeah. And so, but it's like all of a sudden now this aura of the whole street is visible in a way that's not like, this is super bright and exactly how I need it, but in a way that's enough to see.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And
yeah, it's so interesting because like coming from Canada, like we have such an abundance of snow, and where I live and where I used to live anyway. And just even what the Lord does in terms of like his gifts of things that feel hard for us that actually reflect the light. So like snow, sometimes people don't love snow. Yeah. I personally, like I'm a fan, but just even the way that the Lord allows aspects of the cold, aspects of seasons of darkness to reflect more of the light.
Yeah.
You know, just even like I was walking outside too last night, and I just found, I'm like, oh my gosh, it feels so much brighter because the snow reflects so much. And so to say like, you know, even in a season of darkness when like the single light comes and just illuminates everything, also just how the Lord in his goodness has set things up so that there's reflection points that we sometimes take for granted.
Yeah. There's so many places my mind is going off of this, because these analogies can go so many different ways. And there's two ways I want to go. One, that next passage. Well, first I want to go to 5, and then I want to come back to the snow analogy because I think it's really good. But friends, I want you to hear this, and I want you to believe it, because so often as Christians, it is so easy to spend most of our time and our discussion and our energy thinking about and talking about the darkness of the culture, the darkness of the world, the external darkness. Oh, and technology and AI and everyone and kids these days, and you know, all these things that we just snowball into it. And in verse five, so definitively, it says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And we just gave physical examples of this, but this is the spiritual reality. Again, the Greek word that's used here for darkness is skotia, which means directly translated to spiritual darkness. The light, what do we just hear that the light is? The light is the life of man. It's the word made flesh. He comes and he shines in the darkness. And it's not the darkness will not overcome it. The darkness, you know, maybe a lit, it's really dark. It's really dark though. You know, like we read this and we're like, but it's so dark in the culture. It does not matter. Dark is dark, pitch black. And you need to believe this.
Yes. Amen.
That firm hope that Katie was talking about yesterday of holding on to the rope. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness does not, it's not possible.
Yes.
For the darkness of the world to overcome the light of Christ.
Yes. And I think it's such a call for us, too, to remind ourselves that, like, sometimes as Catholics, especially, and Christians, just as we focus on, like you said, the culture and just how bad everything seems, like, that's actually a way, for me anyway, that the enemy gets in and says, well, like, let's focus on the darkness.
Yes.
You know, we can say it's bad, and just even in focusing so much on it, that we negate the light.
Exactly.
And so to say, like you said, like, there's just, it's just, it's done.
Yes.
He said it's done. And so to dive into living in the light and knowing that the hope is there.
Yes, exactly.
So important.
Yes. And this is where we circle back perfectly to your snow point. Because the more, friends, that we believe this, the more we become a reflection point.
Yes.
Because here it's saying in John, he wasn't the light, but he came to testify to the light.
Yeah.
And as the Lord purifies us and makes us white as snow, right? Because that's where we're going.
I see it.
His light reflects off of us so that people, like, no one thinks that the snow is the source of the light.
Right.
You know, it's not like, oh, like, light is coming, the origin, but the snow does reflect the light, making the world brighter. When I look out my window at night and I don't close my shade, it looks brighter than it does if there's no snow. And so the Lord is calling us to be that reflection point. And the more we focus on the light, the more his light can refract off of us like that snow. And the more we go into spaces that are dark and the light that we're reflecting makes the space brighter.
Yes. Yes. And also, too, just like you're right. So anyways, this, for me, I'm just like also, too, like it's a collection of snow. So when you think about like, yes, like one pile or one space of snow could, you know, could bring about. But when you have more, then like the light shines even brighter. So just even the necessity of like being with people who are going to say you are meant to reflect this. Like we do this together, the community aspect of saying like together, individually, we reflect the Lord and together we reflect the Lord in our relationships and our how we operate as community, as how our parish operates. We are meant to reflect.
Amen.
Individually and together.
Yes, so good. So good. Friends, we want to encourage you. Thank you for being with us this week as we wrap up. Merry Christmas again. And be confident. Jesus is the light of the world. He's come into the world and he's called you because he's given you eternal life within you through your baptism to be purified and to reflect his light. And with that, we can change the world. God bless you and we'll see you next week.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.